morning. It's really good to see all of you here. And I'm really thankful to be here, and I know we're all thankful to have the privilege to be here with you. So let's continue to worship our God together.
With my heart.
This morning we're going to sing a new song. And it might not be new to all of you, but it's a glorious song called Great Are You, Lord. And I wanted to share a verse with you that resonates with part of the song. It says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." It's in 2 Corinthians 4:6. So let's be reminded that the Lord is great and mighty, and he is above all things, and he gives us breath to breathe. So let's thank him and let's sing together.
Yeah. How's that? Now I'm really loud. Let's start over. Lord God, we're thankful that you're not done yet. That you're not done yet in our world. You're not done yet sharing the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. That you're not done yet changing us, transforming us, moving us along in the path of sanctification. That as we bring our gaze up, we can see that you're active, that your Holy Spirit is still moving, making more and more the boundaries of eternity larger and larger. We're really thankful that you're not done with us personally yet. And yet, it's been a week. There's been a few struggles between us and you. And we confess that we've not always said what we should have said, and we said things we shouldn't have said. And we haven't done all that we were called to do. There were things that we did that we shouldn't have done. And we like confessing those to you because it frees us. It takes that weight of guilt and shame. And it removes us from our mind, heart, and soul. And in that space, you lavish your grace and your mercy upon us. And we're better at the end than we were at the beginning. And so, Jesus, help us to live each day that way, knowing that you're not done yet. Knowing that what we feel as though we can't do, you enable us to do that. We're thankful for so many things that you've given us. Lord, you know what's upon our mind, heart, and soul. There are people. There are circumstances in our life, in our world, in our country that we pray for. Lord, there are situations that we're apprehensive about that are just up ahead in this next work week. And we do offer those to you. At times, Lord, we feel like we really can't do much about it. But then we realize that as we pray and we pray together, that there is a power there. And that's the same power that resurrected you from the dead, the same power that changes things, not only in the immediate, but for eternity as well. As we worship you, we desire to do that both in truth and in spirit this morning. And Jesus, we ask that as we lift you up, that you would lift us up as well. And so we pray all these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. You're allowed to be seated. Just stay awake. That's the rule. So if somebody starts kind of going, give them a little elbow and wake them up for me. A few announcements. We're doing a special epic fall festival. We are having midweeks programming here at the church for children, for youth, as well as for adults. This is for the children grades K through 5. We're going to do an hour longer this coming week on the 27th than normal, and we're going to have a costume costume awards. And we're going to play some games. Those are interesting to do with kids 6 feet apart, by the way. It's a little bit of a challenge, but we're making that happen as well. The other thing is children and youth have decided that they're going to put up a costume picture challenge. It's obviously virtual. It's open to the whole church. It falls in two categories. You can send us a picture of you and or your family and friends in a costume or costumes, or if you're going to put some time in carving a pumpkin and you know what you're doing, well, maybe even if you don't know what you're doing, those can be some of the best ones. Those are the ones that I carve, by the way. You can take a picture of your carved pumpkin and send that in as well. And there are prizes, right? There are prizes for the winners. And if you have any questions, check the office or talk with Jennifer and Keith, and they can fill you in.
Well, it's our pleasure this morning, everyone, to welcome Dave and Mindy Finska. They're working on missionary recruitment, training, and coaching.
Well, I'll give you a summary. World Outreach just loves nothing more than sending missionaries to the Muslim world. And we're wondering how then can we find people who are being called to that. We're also active in encouraging churches in reaching Muslims. And so we're active in our local area and in San Diego County in reaching out to Muslims. And what a joy it is for us to connect with refugees, international students, immigrants who are from the world of Islam. And we do those things so that we can find people who are eager to go and serve wherever God wants them to go.
Yes, our job includes coaching. And so we have been thrilled to be able to coach Swim's own Angela Queen to help her on her journey to get global.
That's very unusual, at least in our congregation, to have one of our own become a missionary candidate. So I want to give a shout out to Angela right now. Yay, Angela!
Right.
Glad you're on board. And you heard Dave and Mindy talk about coaching.
Everyone who is interested in serving through the denomination's Missions Arm World Outreach, once they get started in the process, is given a coach to help walk them through all the steps. Thank you so much, yeah. Swim Community Church, for having been a family to someone that's a candidate like Angela.
And
it's a joy to work with
her. We've really grown to love her, to be honest. I mean, she's more of a friend than anything else, and we trust the Lord that we'll keep up a good, sweet relationship with her for a long time to come.
Well, we're looking to the future and what that's going to hold for her and for you. And thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. As Angela makes her way, we'll have her up front and we'll keep you well informed of what is happening with her. Jennifer Gillis, our children's director, is going to come and read our scripture passage.
Perfect. Thank you. This morning we're reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time for love and a time for hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
We're diving deep in this series. Deep faith is really the counter to, well, deep frustration, deep delay, deep challenges, even the disconnect that we're experiencing. That strikes us at a very deep and personal place in our life. Deep faith, well, deep faith is about waiting. Not just waiting to wait. I've got to tell you, I'm not very good at waiting. I'm very good at going, but I'm not very good at waiting. I get a little impatient. But here we're not talking about something that is in our control. We're talking about waiting upon God. Especially the circumstances where God is calling us to something, where God is leading us forward in something. Sometimes God says, no, you have to wait. Now, we've learned as children and as we've parented our children that there is a difference between not yet and no. No is very definitive. Not yet doesn't mean no. It may very well, and often it means yes. Yes in the future, yes when the timing is right. When the timing's right, God will act, God will do what only God can do. And as those that follow him, it's up to us to wait. Wait upon the Lord. Wait for his movement. Wait for his leading. Wait for his urging within us. Now, not learning how to wait, that creates a lot of problems in society. Have you noticed? People get in a hurry and, they become panicked and frustrated in their waiting, and sometimes you get altercations on a freeway, on a highway. Some person is going perhaps a little slower than the speed limit, and somebody's trying to get around them, and they feel like the whole road belongs to them, and then an altercation occurs. Why did that occur? It occurred because someone or someones could not wait. They were in a hurry. Being in a hurry creates more stress and anxiety for us. And usually when we're in a hurry, well, our best self has a tendency to come out. And we often physically become frustrated, emotionally frustrated, and then we say something we shouldn't say. Waiting is about delayed gratification. That is something every child needs to learn. To be able to work and work hard, but understand that the reinforcement, the prize, the payment, the opportunity is up ahead. It's not going to be in the next 5 minutes or in the next 24 hours. It might not be for the next 5 days or the next 24 days. And if we don't learn delayed gratification, well, what happens to us is we end up with big credit card bills. Why? Because what is sweeping over the country, really the world, is, well, I want to have it now. I want to get that right now. I should have that right now. I was delivering a large envelope to the post office to get weighed and metered. And as I talked with the person on the other side of the plexiglass, I said, well, pretty quickly we're going to be into the Christmas season in terms of people coming your way. She says, no, Christmas came in April this year. And I said, can I ask you why you're making that statement? She said, before April, we would get one Amazon truck a day here at the post office. Starting in April, we started to get 3 Amazon trucks every single day. Why 2 more trucks? I want it. I deserve it. I want it now. And so with all of our time on our hands, we buy. We try to satisfy this inner need by a little retail therapy. I'll buy this. I'll buy that. That will make me happy. And so we're in a hurried society. We're in a society that is very self-centered and very consumer-centered right now. And I do believe that a part of that is a response to how long we've been in the shutdown, how long we've been dealing with the COVID virus. We must wait upon God for God to act in us and through us, for God to act around us. Sometimes it's immediate and miraculous. Other times it takes time. And that raises a great question. Why is it that God doesn't do everything in a particular minute or moment? Why does God have us wait? God has us wait, first of all, and it's a natural thing, and you'll see it in our scripture passage. There is a natural progression of things. Here Solomon says, no, there is a seed planting season, and then there is a harvest season. And when we plant the seeds, we don't immediately harvest, do we? No, I don't think we do. For everything, there is a reason, a time to plant and a time to harvest. Now, we don't want to plant and we want to harvest all the time. In fact, worse, we don't want to water and nobody wants to weed. God says there is a season, a time to plant. And then out of that will come a season where you will harvest. And as we spoke the other week, you will often harvest what you sow. Whatever we plant, that's what we're going to get in the end. And sometimes God has us wait because that's just a natural progression of things. Number two is God has us wait because we're not yet in the right season for God to bless us. Yes, it's true that God wants to bless us all the time, but there are blessings that God brings our way that we're not really ready for yet. For instance, we might not be mature enough to carry out the blessing that God has in store for us. For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. See, there's a time for every activity under heaven, but it doesn't say it's all going to happen at one time. Just the opposite. The language here says, yes, there is a good time for every good activity under heaven. And sometimes that's seasonal. It's seasonal. 1 Peter 5:6. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. These troubles test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. God has us wait because he's maturing us or preparing us for something up ahead. One of my friends, an excellent guy, a great business mind, an awesome preacher, he was elevated to a church, a very large church, a prestigious church, very early on in his career. And although there were those around him that thought he had what it would take to captain this very large ship, well, he really wasn't ready for it. He didn't have all the skills developed and all of the maturity to captain this very large church. And so what happened? He ran aground and the church ran aground. Sometimes God is waiting for us to gain enough maturity or enough skill and ability, enough openness to him that we're ready to move on, to move to the next step in what God has in store for us. And so God does say, no, I'm not saying no, I'm just saying not yet. It's not your time yet. And when your time comes, because you're yielding and surrendering to me, because you're staying in touch with me, well, when you're ready, it will be ready. And I will move you from where you are to where I want you to be. Sometimes we're not ready. It's not the right season for God to bless us. The third thing is, as we wait, it should build a trust that we have in God's promises. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has planted eternity in the human heart. So let's not go by that too quickly. God's already made the first move towards us, towards all of humanity, because he has placed a sense of eternity in the heart and the soul of every person on this planet. That comes along with the idea that we're created in the image of God. And we yearn to move into that image, to grow up and mature into that image. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. That's very true. But as we listen to that passage, it points out something else that's very true. And we can't know everything God is doing from beginning to end. That will take some patience, some faithful waiting on our part, but there's a lot that we can know. And we should know what we can know and trust what we don't know. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And we know that that plan is custom tailored for who we are. And our job is to be faithful to God, and sometimes that means faithful waiting. Faithful waiting for a promise of God to come true in our life. And we will wait our whole lives for some of the promises, because for some of those promises to come true, we have to die in this world and then resurrect and be a part of the glorious worship in heaven. Yes, God wants us to trust his promises. And just because we can't know everything, it doesn't mean we can't know some of God's will, perhaps even a lot of God's will. But it's true, to know God's will in your life, it will take some patience, it will take some faithful waiting on your part, on my part. God says, at the time I have decided, my words will come true. That's ultimate, but it's also personal to you. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. All of us have waited a long time for certain things to happen in our life, for certain spiritual things to happen in our life, like someone close to us finally coming to faith. We've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And finally now they've responded to God's invitation. And we're joyful about that, because now we're all going to spend eternity together. Yes, you're stuck with me for eternity. Yeah, I'm stuck with you too. Eternal things, by definition, take a while to happen. So how do we wait? Let's just take the word wait, and I'll give us a few things to remind us of and a few things to do as we're waiting upon God. Number one, write down what you're learning. Write down what you're learning in this moment. Numbers 33:2, At the Lord's direction, Moses kept a written record of their progress. Now add to that Deuteronomy 11:2. Remember what you have learned about the Lord through your experience with him. It does help if you write it down. One of the reasons I used to hand out outlines of the message. You can download them online if you'd like to download them and bring them yourself. Because I want you to be able to remember what we talked about. What's been interesting to me is that people have been around for decades or more. When they've gotten ready to move, they have brought a box to my office and said, maybe someone could use this. And I look at it, it's all the handouts from all the Sundays over the last decade, 12 years. They're all right there. It's good. You ought to write down. Write down in the moment what God is teaching you, what you're learning, but also write down a vision of where you think God is calling you, what God is asking you to do, what God is directing you to do. We want to learn in the moment, but we also want to hope for the future. And as long as you are on this planet, God has something for you to do. And for us to fulfill what it is that God has planned for us, we need to look ahead. Look ahead. Now that relates to the second, the A in wait. And that is, you should act as though it's already happened. Act as though that you're onto what God wants you to do, and you're waiting and you're acting, leaning forward, moving out. We need to act that way because that, at many times, is how God moves us from where we are to where he wants to have us be. Matthew 11:25, Jesus said, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Well, God wants to be faithful to us, and he is. And so we need to act as though God is faithful, and he's going to be faithful to us. We have to trust him. We have to believe in him. Now, here's my illustration, and I think writing things out and looking ahead, evaluating where we are and where God wants us to go, my illustration is simply this. Don't be a parked car. Too many people are parked in their Christian faith, and they're wondering, where is it that God wants me to go? Well, I can tell you this. He doesn't want you parked for very long. And here's my recommendation. If you're not exactly sure where God wants you to go, don't park your car. Don't park your life. Get your life out in the lane and at least let it idle itself down the road. Have you noticed an auto can change its direction? It changes the scenery at a very slow pace, I agree. But God cannot steer a parked car. What happens to your car when it's parked and you try to steer it yourself? You dial around the wheel, and what do you hear? You hear this whining noise. Ah! And let me tell you this, if you're starting to whine, it's because you're not looking ahead. If you're whining, it's because you're not out at least idling, looking and moving so that God can move you from where you are to where he wants you to be. And as we've been locked down and we've been living in our houses for the most part, that's a bigger challenge. And as things begin to loosen up, I want to encourage you to get unparked. Get on the road, at least get on the road and start idling in the direction you think God is calling you. God is very good at saying, no, stop, don't go that way. Don't go that way. I want you to go right, or I want you to go left. Every once in a while in my life, God has said, no, no, I want you to stop and turn around. You missed something. So we want to write down what we're learning. We want to act in a very positive way. We want to step out into what we believe God is asking us to do. Step out in being the men and women of God that He's shaped us and called us to be, especially in these moments. I is imitate those habits that build a strong faith. Paul is saying this, keep on putting into practice all you've learned from me and heard and from me and saw me doing. You've watched me, Paul says. What have I done? What have I said? What kind of an example have you been? I texted this to a friend of mine, Steve, last night. I want to send him some encouraging word on Saturday night because he's been facing some pretty big challenges. And my response to him was simply, Steve, take what you've learned from Paul and put it into practice tomorrow morning, and God will use you to shepherd the flock He's given you. And Steve's response was, yeah, I've learned a lot like you have. The big challenge is to put it into practice. Put it in practice. We put it into practice when we're imitating the right things. Well, what should we imitate? Each of the verses I've listed here says, keep on doing something. So we're to keep on praying, we're to keep on serving, we're to keep on participating in our small group. We are to continue, keep on sowing seed wherever you go, and keep on believing that God is up to something. God is up to something in your life. He's up to something in your group of friends. He's up to something in our county, our state, our country, and our world. We often think because things are hectic, God is not working. That is not true at all. Nothing will thwart the will of God in this world. Nothing. And God is up to something. God is up to expanding and enriching His kingdom. And the way that He does that is He does that through us. And sometimes as He is working in us and through us, He will say, not yet, you need to wait. And in our waiting, let's do good waiting. Let's do growth waiting. Let's keep on praying. And let's keep on serving. And let's keep on studying God's word. And let's keep on sowing good seed wherever we go. And let's keep on believing that the harvest is coming. There is a positive harvest. God is doing things. We need to focus in on Him. We need to not just be parked in our life, but we need to be waiting upon the Lord. Waiting for His direction. Waiting to hear, go! And we don't want to miss either of those two things, do we? We want to write things down. We want to act like it's going to happen. We want to initiate and imitate those habits that strengthen our faith, especially in times of waiting. And finally, we have to trust God. Even when I'm afraid, David says, I keep on trusting you, God. And are we trusting God, or are we kind of panicking? Are we trusting in God or are we depressed? Are we trusting on God or are we just frustrated? We can't stand it anymore. Stress and worry, depression, they're all sure signs that our life is parked. And it's parked for good reason. But there is a moment in which we have to step into what God has created for us, and we've got to get ourselves unparked. We need to be asking God, what is it that you want me to do? Holy Spirit, lead me where you want me to be. And as we ask that, we need to get our life in the lane. And at least go, at least idle along. And it's true, if you don't know where you're going, just don't go headlong forward. But unpark your life so that the Holy Spirit can guide you little by little. Right now, it's little by little. I get it. It's hard to step forward on a big scale right now. And just because we can't step forward on a big scale, that doesn't mean there aren't smaller things that we need to do. Smaller things that we can do. Planting seed that in God's timing and in His season, He will harvest. He will bring blessing. He'll bring results. Well, if you're like me, I'm a little impatient. I don't like waiting. And even when it comes to my waiting upon the Lord, I want to get moving. And I've had to learn as I wait for God to lead or for God to open a door or for God to bring the power to move forward, I have to wait just like you. I have to write down what I'm learning and what I think God is calling me to do in the future. I have to act like it's going to happen. What I'm praying for is a good thing. And God knows how to respond to our good requests. God is in the business of doing good. And so we ought to act as though the good thing that we're praying for, that we're waiting on, is going to happen. And in our waiting, what fortifies us and what encourages us is to continue to imitate the habits that strengthen our faith. And as we practice our Christian faith, it's amazing how God holds us up, helps us to incline our ear to Him, and then see, ready to go, where God is leading us to go. And bottom line, it is really trusting Him. Do you trust that He loves you? Do you trust that He's calling you to His team, that He has something eternal for you to do? Do you believe, do you trust that as you yield and submit to Him, through the Holy Spirit, He will guide you to the next destination, the next opportunity that He has in store for you? And if you do, if you believe those things, I know that God will move you from where you are to where He wants you to be, to where He is calling you to be. Let us pray. Father, some of us really don't like waiting. We're a little impatient. We like going a lot more than stopping. Yet, Lord, we understand what it means to wait in You, that there are naturally seasons to plant and seasons to harvest. We know that when you say not yet to us, and you do say no, and we thank you for that. But you also say not yet. And as we wait for the right season, allow us to mature, to gain the wisdom and knowledge that you want us to have. Help us to be ready at the start line. For when you say, go, now's the time. Walk with us in these times where, well, large things are hard to do and more rare, yet small opportunities are all around us. Help us to step into those and to make the most of those moments. Lord, we're thankful that you love us. We're thankful that you call us to your eternal purpose. Lord, we're thankful that when we die, we too will resurrect and we will spend eternity with you. Thank you for that, and we pray in your name. Amen.
Will you stand?
Let your glory come down.